What a time to be alive on the earth. So many things unfolding, so many things happening, so many shifts happening, so much prophecy being basically fulfilled in our lifetime. Just phenomenal thing to watch. God moving in so many nations, and powerful encounters, dreams, visions, encounters with the Lord. People of all sorts of backgrounds having incredible encounters. It's just a phenomenal day to be alive. And I'm totally expectant because I've read the scriptures. And I believe them. That this will only increase. This will increase. You see, at the end of the age, Jesus talked about the end of the age, and he talked about a harvest at the end of the age. There are two great dimensions to harvest. There's the souls coming into the kingdom, and then there's the harvest that separates the tares from the wheat. And that's, he said the harvesters are angels. And so I believe there's harvest, there's incredible angelic activity among the harvest into the kingdom, but there's also going to be the angelic activity in the harvest at the end of the age, which is the separation of the tares and the wheat. And if you don't know what that's about, read Matthew. Read Matthew 13 and 14, around there, and you'll get an understanding. We've been sharing a bit about, through the year, off and on, I've been sharing about the King and His kingdom. And so I've been touching on on things of the kingdom, and amongst other things that have been happening in visiting ministries and Janet ministering and various others. But today I'm just returning briefly just to look at a couple of very, very short kingdom parables. And I know the kids have got kids' packs and all that sort of thing. I've got something prepared for the kids, you'll get the benefit of it a little bit later on. But Father, as we approach your word this morning, we approach it with reverence and honor. Lord, this collection of books we call the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, is not any book. It is what you've moved on men through the ages to pen the encounters they had with you, and to pen the journeys they had with you, to record history, to record your prophetic unfoldings, and the way people responded to you, either in rebellion or in obedience. And we see so much written that encourages us today in faith and revelation. We see ourselves in your word, both before we come to Christ and now that we're in Christ. We see ourselves in you, in the word, in you. And we get to know you, we get to know who your son is, we get to know who the Holy Ghost is through your word. But I thank you that your word is also living, active, and powerful, and we have the author or the mover of the word here right in our presence. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. Holy Ghost, we thank you. We're not reading a book that was just penned by men. We're reading a book, and we're reading the scriptures this morning that have been penned by men who are moved on by the Holy Ghost himself. So we have the inspirer of the scriptures here amongst us and in us. So Lord, as we approach the word today, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation resting upon us, that the word of God would be opened to us, it would be mixed with faith and received, and it would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Two very short parables, by far the shortest parable. Matthew 13 has got about six parables where Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. Very, very important truths. Very important thing to understand what the kingdom is like. So it gives principles of how the kingdom operates, values, kingdom responses. What happens when you align with the word and open your heart to the kingdom of God? There's just tremendous eternal truths, life-changing truths. So Matthew 13 verse 44 says this. It's amongst a number of other parables. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Then we have the second parable, which is very much like it, but it just brings out it's just a slightly different slant, probably appeals to certain people. Again, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one, found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So we have two parables that speak very similar things. We see a parable where a man is looking to buy a field or buy a piece of ground, and he spends time on that piece of ground, and he deliberately goes looking in case there's any buried treasure in the land. Now, I'm going to give you the historical backdrop of this because it makes sense once you hear it. But when he finds that, when he finds some treasure, he digs around. Whatever he does, he opens it up. He sees it. He sees the incredible value of this treasure, and so nobody else will find it. Nobody else will buy the piece of land. He covers it up again, buries it again, makes sure there's no trace of his activities, and he goes away and he sells everything he can sell. He does everything he can to make sure he's got enough to negotiate the sale of that piece of land. And the reason he does that is because what's in that land is so valuable, so precious, that it's worth more than anything he's ever had before. So he gets rid of all that and goes and buys that. And so why would a man do that? When we buy land here, we don't generally get around digging holes and looking under rocks and trying to find buried treasure. Generally, that's not the case here. But you've got to understand that in those days, there weren't any regular banks like we have them, where you can apparently put things or have your money, which is really just digital blips. There were no great storehouses where you could have your stuff stored under lock and key. Storage units, you know. There was none of that. So you had to take care of your stuff. And generally speaking, land wasn't so much the precious possession of people. It was their stuff. It was their jewels. It was their gold. It was their silver. It was their precious things. If they were idolaters, it would be their idols. It would be maybe very, very expensive garments. It would be very precious things that they had been able to secure or buy or steal or whatever the case may be. And it was those things that were their riches. And those things were often stored, or certain amounts of it might have been buried in the land whereby it would be preserved and it would be safe. Now, the other thing that would happen, of course, is that in certain parts of that area, raiding parties would come through, or other nations or other tribes would raid your village and just plunder everything. They might take you prisoner. They might take everything they could find, all the goods they could find. They'll just take it as plunder. There was no real police force. You know, the army was, well, it was us, you know, kind of thing. And that would happen regularly. And so if people found out that there was a raiding party coming or a raiding nation coming, because it would take a while to get there, not that they were mechanized, not that they had fancy vehicles or aircraft, they'd be on foot or they'd be on horseback, and it would take a while to get there. So they'd get a warning that such and such is coming. It may be days away, maybe weeks away, may only be a day away. So they'd hurriedly gather their treasure together, bury what they could, and took what else they could and fled the area, in the hope that one day they'd be able to return to their land and be able to go and get their treasure. That was the very typical scenario. So, but the problem was is that sometimes those people would never come back, or they would die before they came back. All sorts of tragedies would happen. And so this story, Jesus is pitching it, this parable, Jesus is pitching it in a concept of people's minds that was very familiar. And so this guy, he's wanting to buy land. He might be somebody that he does this as a business. He may be genuinely interested in the piece of land, but he's got some interest. He's not just interested in the piece of land. He's interested in what may be buried in that piece of land. And Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom is like. So the people who have a heart to seek the kingdom of God, they're actually seeking true eternal treasure. Because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of treasure. The treasures of redemption, the treasures of the power of God, of the Spirit of God, of the delivering power of God, healing power of God, forgiving power of God, the mercy of God, eternal life, that the true meaning of our existence is all in the kingdom of God, and it's all the true treasure. Our true treasure of being reconciled to the Father, of being able to be reconciled to each other because we've been forgiven of our sin, therefore release forgiveness to others, and therefore we're reconciled. No forgiveness, no reconciliation. So there's incredible treasure in the kingdom. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is wanting to buy this field, but he hunts around and he finds treasure. The treasure is so valuable that he buries it again, goes and sells everything he can to be able to buy this piece of land. Now, it just so happens that I've got some treasure here. This guy buried it in a sack to protect what was in it. So we'll have a look, eh? Have any kids in here? Are they all out with their little worksheets? We'll just have a look in here. Well, what have we got in here? What have we got in here, Duncan? Oh, well, we've got something in here. This is pretty good. I'm glad I found this. Yeah, there we go. Well, they didn't have bubble wrap in those days, but, you know, had a bit of that. Oh, look at this. This looks pretty good, doesn't it, eh? Oh, look. Oh, there's all sorts of treasure inside. Oh, look. Oh, look at this, eh? Yeah. All this stuff, even from France. Fredo Frog, look at that. There's some stuff from France. And, there's some treasure from Turkey. Turkish delight, look at that. And, more French treasure. Even stuff from outer space, probably meteorites or something. Oh, dear. Oh, gold, look at that. So it's all this treasure, and you go, oh, my goodness, look at this. This, wow. Shuts it up, puts it back in the bag, puts it back in the hole, buries it all, and he goes and sells everything. Well, what's the deal here? The treasure of the kingdom is so good. The treasure of the kingdom is so rich, so eternal, that there's nothing in our lives that is worth keeping a hold of that would interfere or prevent us getting a hold of this treasure. There's no sinful relationship. There's no opinion of others. There's no opinion of family members. There's no opinion of university lecturers. There's no opinion of media presenters. No opinion of politicians. No sinful activity. No seductive activity. There's no lust, there's nothing of the old life that is worth hanging on to. There's no sinful practice. There's no wonky belief. There's no idolatry that's worth hanging on to prevent us from getting a hold of this. The kingdom of God is of supreme value. It's full of absolute treasure. All the treasures of redemption are in the kingdom of God. And so the point of this parable is that he went and sold everything so he could get a hold of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an all or nothing kingdom. It's not a pick and choose. This is not Woolworth's pick and mix that you used to get years ago. Anybody remember Woolworth's pick and mix? Yeah, overpriced. Just like a lot of the bins are in the supermarkets. usually get something better on special somewhere. Overpriced. So the second parable of this nature is talking about a pearl. I haven't got any pearls. I was going to get some gobstoppers. You know what they are? Couldn't find any. You know, you can't talk for a day when you've got one of those in your mouth. Should have one about now, probably. But anyway. And I know what somebody was thinking. I could hear it. That parable's similar. When he finds the pearl of great price, he's a merchant looking for it. He knows pearls. He knows what he's looking for. And he finds this pearl of incredible value. He goes away and he sells everything to get that pearl of great value. Why would Jesus tell a similar parable twice? Because out of two or three witnesses. Yeah, he's making a point. So the kingdom of God is actually our highest priority. And it's worth everything. There's nothing of the old realm of darkness, the old nature of our humanity that is worth hanging on to that'll prevent us taking a hold of this. The gospel commands us to preach repentance in the whole world. What people are now trying to do is they're trying to hang on to the old life, trying to hang on to sin, trying to hang on to sin and death. They're trying to hang on to their perceptions of themselves, and they still want to somehow get the benefit of this. No, to buy the field, you need to abandon everything of that old life and buy the field, because the treasure is in the field. How many people here do we have under 16? You can come up and grab one of these. You're under 16? 16 or under, come up and grab one of these. All the 17-year-olds going, you. Under 16, come and grab one of these. You can get something Turkish or French or whatever you want. Yeah, hurry up. <That's right. laughs> Sorry, buddy. There we go. Look at that. Yeah. Some of the treasure, eh? Not bad. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. One each, just one. Yeah, one each. It's not lunchtime. Just a snack to get you through. Okay. There we are. Look at this. Oh, cool,
thank
eh?
You so much.
Yeah, pleasure, mate. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. There we are. Hey, I've still got some left. Anybody under 18? 18 or under? No, 18s or under. Okay. 70 or over. There we are. Yeah. I know some of you are wanting to be 69 for the next 18 years. I know that. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Oh, yeah, look at that, eh? There were just as many under 16 than there are 70 and over. Peter, you don't qualify yet, do you? No, well, you don't qualify, do you? No, you don't qualify. Anybody else who really is 70 over but hasn't wanted anybody to know? There's some people we can guess. There we go, look at that, eh? That's Turkish, you can have that. Yeah, that one.
I wanted that one.
Well, there's more there, Murray.
Sorry, Murray.
There we are. Look at that. So the kingdom, this is the message. This is the message. Now, the rest of you here, you can just all fight over them. And most of us come to points in our life even and when we're walking with the Lord, whereby we have to say, is this lining up with the kingdom? Is this lining up with the nature of Jesus? The nature of my Father? Because this is how I've seen the Lord work in our lives. It's how he's worked in my life, how I've worked in pretty well everybody I've ever seen come to Christ and then grow in Christ over time. Is that there's that initial faith that gets your sins forgiven, gets your name written in the book, and gets you across the line in that sense. You become born again. But I've never known the Father to hit people up over every issue of their life in the first day. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've never known him to heap the level of conviction on them about absolutely every issue of their life, every issue of their heart in those first moments. Some people have had such a powerful encounter that huge amounts get shifted in a very short time. Totally into that. But that's the Holy Ghost doing. Hear what I'm saying? What I have seen is where there's the joy, there's the excitement, there's the sense of salvation, there's a sense of received, of my sins being forgiven, I've got eternal life, there's the grass may be greener, the blue, sky bluer, but then that often not only the only time you've experienced that. I've had a few times where the grass has been greener, where the sky's been bluer. A number of times where that's happened. And so what happens is that God takes us on this incredible journey where over time there'll be this issue now gets just touched on by the Lord and brought to our attention, or something will confront us where we realize actually this area of my thinking, this area of my heart, this area of the way I'm seeing things is actually out of line. And so we've got a choice then. We either repent of it, we take responsibility for it, we repent of it, we turn away from it, we receive grace to overcome it, or we get delivered of some things, whatever the strongholds are, and then we keep growing. That doesn't mean that we haven't entered the kingdom of God when we first got born again. What that means is we're experiencing more and more of the treasure. We're experiencing more and more of the treasure. See, the treasure restores, the treasure heals, the treasure forgives. The treasure empowers us to be merciful. The treasure settles our mind. The treasure brings peace into our hearts, a peace that is supernatural. The treasure brings us into such communion with our Heavenly Father that we know who we are. We absolutely know who we are. We're not subject to people's opinions anymore. We're not insecure by somebody. We're not made insecure by somebody with a different opinion. Even if it's an opinion of us. People may like you, people may hate you. But when you're secure in the love of your Father and you know who you are, you're a son of God. In case if you're a lady, a daughter of God. Then people's opinions are not the issue anymore. When we first start out on the Lord, they may be. So it may be influenced by people's opinions. So we don't want to say this, we don't want to say that, we don't want to upset that person, don't want to disturb this. But as you get older and as you grow in Christ and the treasure of the kingdom of God is more established in your heart and you know who you are, you know who your Father is, you know who you are to him, then people's opinions and the different views and different ideas about life and different ideas about God, they don't influence you in terms of your direction and your well-being and your knowledge of who you are. They're just the nature of the world. And so this is just part of the treasure outworking in our lives. I want to tell you this. I wouldn't want to be in this world right now with its mixed up philosophies, with the crazy ideas of reality that are being spread far and wide without the knowledge of Christ. Without knowing who I am. My life is not shaped by the opinions of other people. It's shaped purely by the view and the knowledge of my Father. The deeper I go in that, the more of a treasure it becomes. Because I tell you, you treat everybody else the same way. That person can have a different opinion. I'm not going to beat up on them. Might have a different view of that and a different view of that. It's not going to shake me. We just grow in the love of the Father. And then when a lot of people are growing in the love of the Father themselves, then the love of the Father is spread abroad among them. And you get a whole community of people growing at various paces and various levels in their identity of the love of the Father. And I want to tell you, it starts to create a culture, starts to create an atmosphere, starts to create a realm. And people come into that realm and they experience home. They say things like that, I feel like I've come home. Yeah. And that's because of the love of the Father and the atmosphere. So one of the great treasures that we're growing in, and one of the great treasures that's in the field of the kingdom, is the knowledge of the love of the Father for you. That's just one, and it's huge. So whatever you're seeking, can I say, seek first the kingdom? Whatever you value, can I say, can you value above that the kingdom of God? Whatever you're hungry for, can I say, look, above that, can you be hungry for the kingdom and the reality of the manifestation of the kingdom? Whatever you're hungry for, whatever you're seeking, whatever, if you're looking for a name for yourself, look, can I encourage you to humble yourself under the name of the Lord? Because if you humble yourself to Him, He'll lift you up in due time. And when He lifts you up, you don't have to lift yourself up. If we're hungry for a name for ourselves, if we're hungry for prestige or something for ourselves, then we're going to have to keep motivated. We're going to have to keep empowering that. But if you humble yourself under the name of the Lord and you allow Him to raise you up, then He empowers it. He empowers it for His purposes. So, you know, where do I start, where do I stop when I'm talking about the kingdom of God? See, the kingdom of God, when you read the kingdom parables, the values in the kingdom, when you grow in the knowledge of the kingdom, the person sitting next to you is a miracle. You start to realize, because it's a kingdom value. It's part of the nature of the kingdom to value people. So you can imagine if nations come into greater dimensions of valuing and honoring the kingdom of God, how much the value of people starts to change. Suddenly there doesn't need to be as much insurance for theft, because people are valuing each other more. People are being more honest. People are not stealing other people's goods. It just plays on. It just goes on. The values of the kingdom go on and on. But when you have an absolute vacuum of the values of the kingdom, people are enslaved. People are abused. People are trafficked. There's no value on the human being. People just steal each other's stuff. People have to be insured to the eyeballs. People have to have security to the eyeballs. Because the values of the kingdom are not in that society, and it goes down. How many people grew up in an environment where you didn't lock your doors? You didn't lock your doors. You didn't even bother taking the keys out of your car. Why in the old Holdens you could put the key in the ignition, turn it on, take the key out, throw it away, and the rest of the life of the car you could operate that thing without a key. Because in the outback there was nobody to steal it. You know the value now the modern car is very, the designers are very security conscious, because they have to protect that valuable possession and prevent thieves from stealing it to whatever degree the technology they can afford. Whereas only 50 years ago, people didn't even lock their cars. It's why in those old movies, people pulled up in their convertibles and just jumped out. Because the value was you didn't steal other people's stuff. So I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about the values. I'm talking about the treasure above all that we treasure. It's the treasure of the kingdom. And I think that as life goes on, I need checkups on that. Personally, I'm just being honest here. I need to take times of self-evaluation as to is there anything I'm valuing that's contrary to the kingdom or contrary to the manifestation of the kingdom or the kingdom of God in my life? Is there anything I've put above? Is there anything I've been really distracted by? And I have to take times of self-evaluation. And in evaluating myself, I go, yeah, I've gotten too distracted with that. I'm not valuing that enough. I need to shift. I need to put more time, make more place in my heart for that. I need to value that more. And so what we do is, this word says, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. So when you judge yourself, you evaluate yourself in line of what is the most precious thing in my life? What is the most precious dimension? Whose word is the most precious? Whose values are the most precious? Whose commands are the most precious? Whose intimacy is the most precious? Just reevaluation. And so the church cries out for revival. And that's good. One of the reasons we need revival sometimes is because other things have crept in that have become more valuable than the treasure of the kingdom. One of the reasons repentance, times of repentance, can precede revival, because repentance is part of self-evaluating ourselves, and we see the things that are out of line or out of whack value-wise, and we make a shift and we repent and we bring ourselves back into alignment. Therefore, the dimension of the kingdom and the power of the Holy Ghost, etc., becomes more prevalent. And our hearts come into a new place. Let's all stand. Well, look at that. 3 minutes over. That's a treasure. Father, right now, the kingdom is like a field. The kingdom is like the man who, looking to buy the field, found treasure in it, which made the field incredibly valuable. And he went and sold everything that would be a hindrance to him being able to get that field. In other words, he put all of his resource into that field to be able to get that treasure. So, Father, help us in this day, in this hour, spend times of self-evaluation. How are we prioritizing the treasure of the kingdom? Is there something that we're refusing to repent of? Is there somebody we're just reluctant to forgive? Is there some grudge, some bitterness towards somebody that we're just not really wanting to let go of? Is there something we're absolutely craving, thinking that somehow that's going to bring life, but if we're really honest, it'll actually take us further away from you? Lord, let the Holy Ghost just brood on us. Father, anything that would prevent us from totally taking a hold of the treasure of the kingdom. We make a decision right now to let that go. It's a very, very precious moment for some people. Very important moment for some people. There may be somebody who's been considering whether they really do embrace Jesus and put their trust in him or not. Because if they do, there may be a cost, or there will be, in the sense of maybe how other people see you. Maybe somebody very important to you, you're actually weighing up whether you receive Jesus and become a follower of Jesus or whether you honor their opinion and their view because of the power that person has had in your soul and in your mind. That person's been of high level in your mind. Their opinion's been of high level in your mind, but there's a battle going on right now between what they say and what the Holy Spirit is drawing you toward. Can I say today that you be like this man, this willing to sell everything to gain the treasure in that field? You're fearing rejection? Rejection will last for a little while. But don't let the fear of rejection be your Lord. Don't let it be your master. Don't let it cause you to miss out on the treasure in the field. Something you need to let go. Who is that person, even another believer that you're upset with? That whatever feelings of justification you've got, I want to tell you, my friends, it'll hinder the flow of the treasure in your life. Please, let that go. You've got a grudge that goes right back into your 20s. You're now in your 50s. But there's a grudge that goes back to somebody in your life when you're in your 20s that has never been resolved. I want to say today is the day to let that go. Release it to the Lord. You don't need to carry that forward. The treasure of the kingdom is so much more valuable than hanging on to that hurt, hanging on to that judgment, hanging on to that opinion. Let it go. There may be somebody here that there's a luring toward a relationship, but actually in your heart, you know it's not right. It's like you really have to almost shut out the voice of the Lord to be able to pursue that relationship because you know what's true and what's right. Don't forsake the treasure of the kingdom for something that's promising a bit of pleasure, a bit of life, when in actual fact, it may just bring death. Father, right now, I just pray grace over every life. Grace over every life. If there's somebody here who's never invited the Lord Jesus into their life to be their Lord and Savior, you've never actually embraced Him as your Lord and Savior, just put up your hand if that's you. Today would be the day when you can actually discover the treasure that's in the field. The treasure of the kingdom. That's you. Put up your hand. We're going to pray with you. If that's you, put up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. We're going to go online in a minute. We're going to pray in case there's anybody online. because there's many people who watch this gathering, all sorts of places. So it's not just in this room. Right, just how about you turn to that camera down the back, just above Rob's head there. Turn to that camera and stretch out your hand to that camera, because apparently everybody in this room is born again. Maybe you're just a bit too frightened to respond, but if you pray this as well, God's going to take you seriously. So if you're watching online today and there's something stirring in your heart and you know that you've got a choice to make today to let go of that thing because it's going to hinder you being able to access that treasure, then it's time to let it go. It's called repentance. So I invite you to pray with us. We're all going to pray together and we're going to pray with you online. If this is you, pray with us and receive Christ into your life and start to experience the treasure of the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you sent your Son, the greatest treasure of all. And Lord, I thank you that he died on a cross. He died for me, breaking the power of the control of sin in my life, of bringing me into a place of restored fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Father, forgive me of all my sin. I turn away from it, and I will walk with you and experience you in your goodness from this day forward. Thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. I acknowledge that you are God and Creator and Lord of all. That my great need for you, I receive you today as you receive me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us.